Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke.
He's Brian.
I am.
How are we doing, big guy?
I'm feeling all right, man.
It's Friday. Right. Hopefully you're feeling all right. It is a Friday afternoon here in the gorgeous state of Wisconsin. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. In Madison, I'm broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's Near West Side on Devil Radio 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM. Brian, you're holding down the fort over there in the Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM. How is the Shaw?
It's pretty awesome. We're going to get new windows pretty soon. I don't know if you remember. I remember a couple weeks back we got our
Halloween
windows.
Surprise.
Yeah, a little bit of happiness. By the way, I'm still waiting for Halloween to happen. Is that coming up soon?
You missed the train, friends.
Yeah. Thanksgiving's next week.
Yes,
jeez.
Thanksgiving is next week. It's kind of it's that weird lull right now. Where
I got to go get those candy corns.
Gross. Gross.
There's Thanksgiving candy corns. Did you know that exists? We read that on the air.
That was last year. I think we missed it for Thanksgiving, and then we did it
for Christmas. Yeah,
I think we did it for Christmas. So, disgusting. Well, excellent piece. Analyzing the disgusting candy corn. Holiday
green
flavor.
Bean candy corn.
Ugh, disgusting.
It was made and sold to people.
Yeah, but this fine program is also broadcast outside of just Madison and Waukesha. Also in Oshkosh on Oshkosh Air Support, Lake Air in Amory. Locally grown radio in Wisconsin Rapids and radio from the center in Richland Center. If you want to join the show, share your tangent with us on this gorgeous Friday afternoon, 844-967-2789. We're going to be joined by Hawk Sullivan, proprietor of three local hood bars here, local neighborhood bars here in Madison.
Local hood bars.
Yeah.
That could be.
Neighborhood
bars.
There's
several different ways we can take that, but we're not going to.
It's
either
just
way,
Friday.
I'll go with falconry.
There we go.
I'll go with falconry.
So Hawk will
falconry
be joining
bars.
Us. at the bottom of the hour. So if you want to share your tangent before then, 844-967-2789.
See, they put hoods on the falcons when they're on the arm.
Do
and
they?
And they take the hood off, and then they release them.
Interesting.
That was a... Folks, you're going to have to go far and wide to find like falconry jokes here. But here at Dueling Tangents, we are heavy.
They're easier to find.
Yeah. Easier to find.
They are.
I have to start before we get into anything. I want to just give a shout out to Drew Smith. How you doing out there? If you're listening, you're the coolest. I'll call you after the show. Hope you're well, man. He's one of the ancillary engineers that helps us out with a lot of things. We have a dream team we're assembling. Together, we're going to be the engineering Avengers, and we're going to solve problems far and wide. And some of them you might be hearing relatively soon. So I'm pretty in a good mood today because we've solved some problems around here, and Waukesha's doing great, and things are actually happening. So shout out to Drew Smith. I'll give you a call later, man.
And if you want to learn more about what Civic Media is putting together here with the network of radio stations, Brian has just pretty much pulled out of the ground, just sheer strength. Go to civicmedia.us to learn
more. If it was
more.
Only that easy.
If only. But Brian,
you're wandering around in the dark. It's fine.
Yeah, it's a Friday afternoon, and with the midterms behind us now, I think it's kind of we're just going to be talking about whatever crosses our mind here on Dueling Tangents. And one of the things that I think got a lot of people in an uproar over these last couple of days, yourself and your family included, was the cluster of what happened with the early presale for Taylor Swift tickets through the giant conglomerate that is Ticketmaster and Live Nation. And so, Brian, can you detail for us your experience trying to get the ladies in your life Taylor Swift tickets?
Well, so we're going to get Darby Taylor Swift tickets for Christmas. That was our idea for next year. And she now keep in mind she had just got to see They had just gone down to Chicago to go see Harry Styles, my friend. Our family friend went with them, and just watching her, I saw a video of her at the con. It was just freaking great. And she's learning trombone in school, and Harry Styles had an entire female orchestra. Like all the people, all the musicians were female, and she's got to see this a trombone solo in the middle of a Harry Styles concert, which is freaking awesome.
Yeah.
So she's starting to get into the concert thing. By the way, her first rock and roll concert was the Dolly Rots. I took her there. That was pretty awesome.
There you go.
Anyway.
Shout out Chris Black.
Yeah, right on. Reminds me, I got to call him back. Anyway, shout out to Chris Black. How you doing, buddy? I'll call you after the show.
That phone call list is just growing and growing on this Friday afternoon.
I'll call you after. We have a phone call ourselves scheduled afterwards. It'll probably be down the line. Anyway, point is that I got on the old, because I got a Capital One card, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Amy and I playing this, she's like, well, the sale for pre-sale goes on at 2. I'm like, guess what? So do I. She's like, oh, okay. So she's at work. Like the girls at work were helping her out. Uh-huh. Like I got her the Capital One app with my login. I even freed up more money on the card to make sure that there was no issue. Like we pre-planned this.
You were going
to
get some tickets. That was the plan.
We got no problems with tickets. We're going to figure this out. I'll charge it. We'll figure it out later. Whatever. I'm not looking for like amazing seats. I just want seats.
Yeah.
So anyway, she's in line for 2 hours. Like I'm after the show troubleshooting stuff and I'm working late. And she's like, I'm still in line. I'm like, what?
She goes,
nope. I'm not in line anymore. And they've sold out completely.
Yeah. And
sold out completely.
It's pretty wild that something that is monopolistic? Monopolistic, I believe, would be the term. They're a monopoly, Ticketmaster.
Yeah, totally.
They have pretty much unified consolidation of the ticketing process for major concerts from Taylor Swift all the way down to local shows at a venue in your neighborhood sometimes.
They have literally become the ticket master.
Yeah. And even though they became the master of tickets, they seem to fail pretty hard on this one, Brian.
If you're allowed to go into a pre-sale and you're the exclusive, you should be the only ones in the pre-sale, right?
Well, not the case with this Capital One pre-sale because everybody could flood the queue even if you didn't have. Now, you needed a Capital One card to check out. That was part of the requirement to be able to secure these tickets, Brian. But you didn't have to necessarily have a Capital One card to get into the queue, and therefore, Amy included, many people that had Capital One cards sat in the queue even though it was not set up the right way. Couple hours. And so I just find it fascinating that everybody, I mean, we're also seeing a front row case study of billionaires not being necessarily the smartest, taking over social media platforms, more or less burning it to the ground, spending $44 billion to burn Twitter to the ground, Elon Musk is. But I think this is an excellent example of how monopolies and capitalism, when left unfettered, just does not work properly either. Ticketmaster screwed the pooch on this one, for lack of a better term, because
I mean, essentially, you're getting a ticket and you're handing it down the line, and every time it gets handed down the line, more money gets added to it, but nothing, no value is added.
Right.
Like this isn't like you made a bottle of liquor and then these people, you know, have a markup and that's what happens, or you know, it's more expensive in a bar than a grocery store because of the inflation code. That's a legitimate business model. Like this is just I clicked.
Well,
I mean,
sometimes
it's better
it's
than mining for freaking cryptocurrency, but there's also issues with that, huh?
Sometimes it's not even somebody clicking though. Sometimes there's plenty of bots that were probably programmed, Brian, to flood the queue for these Ticketmaster early access and then purchase tickets to then just upsell them later, because you can find some tickets, Brian, on SeatGeek or StubHub or Ticketmaster itself now, but they're to the tune of 200, 300, 400% markup from what they were originally purchased. And
to that end, I was actually our alternate was to go and get Lizzo tickets.
Mm-hmm.
We decided to go see Lizzo at Fiserv. Which is closer to her birthday anyway, which is awesome. So And I'd personally rather see Lizzo myself. But anyway, I'm looking at SeatGeek, and because I knew this, the tickets went on sale at 10 o'clock. I know they're already gone, so I'm on SeatGeek, and they're starting to populate. I'm like, oh, SeatGeek has a bunch. Oh, wait, SeatGeek is literally going up in price as I sit here and wait. I better decide which tickets I want. I have to buy them now.
You better get those soon, because otherwise they're going to be gone.
That's secondary Alvarez market. Like, SeatGeek's supposed to give you lower prices, and some dude named Steve decided 10 minutes later, oh, I don't want these tickets, because that's how it works.
Right, because, you know, the business model of SeatGeek would be how it was explained to me when it first became a alternative to Ticketmaster was, well, this will allow you to get last-minute seats to, say, a basketball game or a football game when the original ticket holder can't make the game, or they can't go to the concert. And
doesn't always work, by the way.
Does not always work, by the way. But it is interesting to see how something that was supposed to be convenient for the original ticket holder to be able to offer it up and get some kind of value rather than no value at all if they couldn't make it to the event, now uses it as an inverse of what it was intentionally created for. Now they're just saying, well, I bought the tickets, and now that I got them, you couldn't. Maybe I had a bot program it to buy them for me. Maybe I did it myself. Maybe I had the 6 hours to wait in queue and purchase them with my Capital One card. But because of that, I'm going to mark it up 500%. We're going to increase the cost fivefold for these floor
seats. It's what the market will bear, Luke.
It's what the market will bear. It's a fascinating excuse to say, well, yeah, unfettered capitalism's okay when it benefits me.
Yes, that's the entire thing. And again, I'm not trying to tell you that, oh my goodness, we need to go and make sure everybody gets to see Taylor Swift. That's not the issue. It's not even all the issue. It's the model. It's the business. It's the idea that you can go and, you know, sit down somewhere, and then some D-bag with a bunch of money can sit down and sit their fat money asses right in front of you, block you in their seat, and it's okay because they have a bunch of money. In fact, they can go and do whatever the hell they want as long as they have a bunch of money. You know what? If you go down to Disney now, it used to be fun, but now you go and wait in line for hours and hours and hours in the regular queue. But again, you do the same thing at Six Flags down the way. Somebody gets the Lightning Pass or the Flash Pass, and they get to go in front of you because they're better and they paid more, or they frequent more and they spent more things, and they're a member. And you're not a member. Oh, my goodness. Way to go, everybody. You know what unfettered capitalism does? It just separates everybody by the, hey, look, we're obscenely rich and a-holes versus the regular plebeians that sit around and go, oh, I got to go and be a regular person.
Well, but everybody's got more money in their pockets now, Brian, so everybody's got to raise prices. It's very interesting how that conundrum works. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm going to head over to the phone lines, and at the bottom of the hour, be joined by our friend Hawk Sullivan.
That's how it used to be. You had to be there. You had to get in line. You had to sit in line and actually get the ticket at the venue.
Yeah. Welcome back, folks. You're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. He's Brian.
Get off my lawn.
If you want to join the show, share your tangent. 844-967-2789. I'm talking about the fiasco at Ticketmaster and just kind of unfettered capitalism as a whole. Because sometimes, Brian, when you don't have the guardrails of, say, good governance or regulations to be able to keep corporations in some kind of check. I'm not saying that the government needs to nationalize Ticketmaster and all of a sudden the U.S.
No.
Department of Tickets is distributing
no.
tickets. That's
no,
not
that'd make answer. Everything dumber.
It
and
would.
And more bribery. Lots more bribery in that situation.
It would, but there's absolutely some form. There are forms of antitrust regulation that could be put in place when two of the largest ticket venue organizations, corporations, decide to merge, Live Nation and Ticketmaster. There can be antitrust aspects. You can try to decentralize that monopoly. And there are things that can be done to, because what you always hear is competition is key to capitalism. Ticketmaster mm-hmm. does not have competition. Therefore, you can
yep.
see fiascos like we saw this week with the Taylor Swift.
Don't get me wrong. I don't want them to not make money. They definitely provide a service, but definitely they are making more money than the actual artists themselves sometimes. And how can that be even remotely good?
Right. And literally just for creating the site that has the tickets. They just add everything on for processing fees. Like, I get there's a base set of costs that need to be covered to be able to operate the business. But they slap on just random fees, Brian. If you have used Ticketmaster to check out recently, like, there's just nonsensical fees. You could have some transparency in where those fees are going. Is something that the government could do to address these problems.
You know how bad weird stupid fees like that are? Even banks are turning around and going, "Look at us, we don't have any fees."
We don't because slap you with any of those nonsensical fees.
The evil we're trying to suck the blood out of the entire world banking system. We're never going to change. Screw you. We're the banking system. Screw, you know what? It doesn't matter. We're going to have only people that have white skin and only have penises be able to run banks forever and a day banking system banks. Those people, the institution of institutions banks, those people are like, you know what? Let's advertise that we're not doing weird, stupid fees.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting, though, because when another example that we could point to for some transparency could help. Brian, we're now 10 days removed from the midterm elections. And would you believe it if I told you that, surprisingly, 10 days after the midterms, price of oil is at pretty much the year low now that it's not politically convenient for oil to be expensive.
But crude oil. No. I'm going to go with the Republican way. The oil prices must know that a steady hand like Joe Biden will mean that it's going to be smooth sailing for business now. That's why the price went down. Now that we know that Joe Biden's going to continue to have a Senate there that, that's why the price of oil went down. That's literally it.
Interesting. Interesting.
Must
dynamic.
Be it.
Not the.
It must
fact
be the
that...
steady hand of the Democrats in charge. Even though the Republicans kind of have the house over there, it must be the steady hand of Joe Biden that has brought down.
Well, if there's one thing that we could say about the House Republicans right now is they are not a steady hand. So.
No, not very. Hey, what did you guys run on? X, Y, and Z. What are you guys doing?
Hunter.
Not any
Biden's
of that.
Laptop instead. And that was not in the XYZ.
Yeah, and so when they're investigating Hunter Biden's laptop and the hearing does come out, I hope that the Democrats act like the Republicans did during the investigation or the quote-unquote hearing in the House. When every single time they talked about Trump, they said, "Hey, can you tell me about, I know we're talking about Hunter Biden's laptop, but can you tell me about Senator Ron Johnson's business dealings in China?"
Yeah, you don't even have to go there. You could just go to Ivanka's in China or
oh, yeah, every time
Jared
every
Kushner's
time bring up a different
in,
subject
in Saudi Arabia.
That isn't Hunter Biden.
Yeah. It'll be very
good strategy,
interesting to
I
see
think.
How it plays out. But these are just something, it's on this Friday afternoon we're keeping an eye on, talking about. If you want to join the show, share your tangent, 844-967-2789. Gonna be like our friend Dick here in Madison. Dick, what's on your mind this Friday afternoon?
Oh yeah, that gas thing. That is pretty interesting, isn't it?
It's wild how crude oil is just plummeting over the last 10 days now.
Well, yeah, that happens. So, what's your guys' take on this special counsel that Merrick Garland just announced?
Oh yeah, speaking of fun investigations, that's what started the whole hearing in the first place.
Here's my take on it.
Let's hear
it. This would be like you got the ball on the 1 yard line, first and goal, and you call in the field goal team, and we'll take a field goal instead. This thing's a slam dunk. Go for him. Now we're going to sit around and putz around for another several months, and I don't care about him running for president either. Okay, I don't.
Most people don't either. But you got to understand.
Rupert Murdoch
these
is telling
are
him.
The people with Rupert. The fat wallets and the fat asses that sit in front of you at all the concerts, and these are the people who, no matter what, will figure out a way to get out of it. So no matter what happens, from here until the end of this investigation, everything has to go beyond reproach to the point where it has to be every single Trump will get off if one T on his name isn't crossed. Do you understand? Like if there's an I that's not dotted. He's going to walk free. Like, if there's any chance of this guy ever being
Wiggle room. Yeah.
There can't be any wiggle room. And I'm hoping that's the reason why, and not just, well, that can looks like it could go down the road a little bit longer.
And Dick, we're just, it's not Merrick Garland Day today, so that's why we're not celebrating. But it'll be interesting to see how this special counsel investigation forms over the next, like Brian said, several months. It's gonna be months now, but we'll see. We'll see. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We're going to be joined by Hawk Sullivan coming up in this next segment. Asking the bartender. If you got questions for a bartender, you can give us a call, 844-967-2789. Also going to be talking about the World Cup kicking off on Sunday, 844-967-2789. You are listening to Dueling Tangents.
Welcome back, everybody. Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I am Brian. That sure is Luke over there. And we are joined by our special guest, Hawk Sullivan, owner proprietor of several fine establishments in the Madison area. Hawk Sullivan, how are you, man? Welcome. And that is I just have to say, that is a mighty fine that is a mighty fine getup you have there on your chest.
You like it,
that is a beautiful
like
Chicago Bear logo on your chest. That is beautiful.
I was just telling Luke that I much prefer Illinois, Chicago, crazy, aggressive drivers because I literally just got here because, listen, if you're listening to this show right now and you're driving along and you have decided to drive slower because there are some snowflakes falling.
There's not even any falling right now.
Please go home. Go to your mom's basement. I don't know. Get off the road. What is wrong with it? It's some snowflakes. What is wrong with you?
Now, I like to go and use this as a moment to go and stump for public transportation, because that's usually a driver that would probably benefit from having better public transportation.
Look at Brian,
like tying it in there. Yes.
Every time I drive to Madison, I'm like, oh my God, why don't I have rail?
Yes.
So the Bear is funny because being a Bears fan and owning bars in Wisconsin, my joke is, the best thing for me is that the Packers go to the Super Bowl and then lose.
Hey, guess what?
Because then I get all their money.
Guess what? That's not happening
that
this year.
That's
not going to happen this year.
I saw some Packer fan. Like, we lost last week on Sunday, and some Packer, and they won, right? And some Packer fan was like, oh, how'd your Bears do? And I was like, what? Okay, 4-6. Like, what are you like? You're like
4-7.
Well, 4-7. Yeah.
I'm cheering for your quarterback though, because in fantasy he's resurrecting a team that I thought was done for. Picked him up off the waiver wire.
I can't believe you have him in fantasy.
80 points over the last 2 weeks. Why not?
Like setting records.
He's averaging 40 points over the last 2 weeks. Why would I not pick that up if it was available on the waiver wire? But Hawk, we wanted to have you join us this Friday afternoon because we'd like to have you on for Asking the Bartender, and we've got something coming up this weekend is kicking off, and you're going to be hosting some special hours at the bar.
Yeah, actual not as football. Much as I would like to. I mean, so in the past we have in the so over the 20 years the Hawks been there, we're kind of known as being a soccer bar on some level, partly because I'm a soccer fan, and I've had some managers and employees over the years who have been big fans, and we would typically, in a normal non-COVID situation, I probably have enough employees to be open for the 7 a.m. games.
Yeah.
We just don't right now, frankly. I would like to pretend like that was not the case, but for the first round, and no, we're not open for the 4 a.m. games.
And for everybody,
why not?
For those who do not know, the World Cup kicks off this Sunday, November 20th, being held in Qatar, Qatar. I don't know how you pronounce it. I have heard it pronounced many different ways.
I kind of don't care.
Qatar, yeah, Qatar.
They seem like pretty miserable people. They seem like slate.
It's the middle of the desert. It is going to be an interesting one for fans to commiserate. They announced today that there's not going to be any beer at the World Cup games.
They didn't announce it today. It's been known that they weren't going to have alcohol there.
Oh, see, I thought this was a revelation.
No, we just started making a big deal out of it.
Just right before it kicks off. Okay.
And something just happened recently with a journalist who was there trying to film, you know, for the World Cup, and like he got like it's not a good scene there.
Yeah,
it's just not a good scene. Like, well, I wouldn't. I don't know what kind of fans are going.
They didn't win it on their merits. We can say that.
$800 million they paid.
Yeah,
I mean, you want to talk about a corrupt? I mean, FIFA.
I mean, I was going to say, I'm like, international soccer is probably the most corrupt
of all the
sports.
I would like to boycott it, frankly. I would. I would like to boycott the World Cup, you know, because I just think 3,000 people died building these stadiums.
Oh, it's only 3,000.
I heard 6,500.
Oh, really?
No, I heard reports of up to 6,500 migrant laborers.
Slaves. Because they took their passports.
Yeah. They get sponsored to be there, but yes. Sponsor is a terrible word because they're paying off the dues to get there.
And then they have it in November because, you know, it's 9,000 degrees there in July. So, like, they convinced FIFA for the first time in the history of FIFA to move the World Cup to November. And I just, the whole thing is just, you know, anyway. So I'm complaining about them, but yes, we are at Hawks. I would like to boycott them.
Because I wanted to talk to you about it, because yes. Sports is an excellent thing that brings people together, but then you also have these organizations, FIFA and countries like Qatar, that are use sports as a venue to try to make life with those countries or those organizations seem better than it is.
Correct.
And so sports gets used as this, sports washing is the term that has now become known for why Russia wanted to host the World Cup in 2018 and why we're going to now have it in the middle of November and December rather than in the summer when it's normally held in Qatar.
It's pretty gross because when you think about these countries that, frankly, there's probably only about maybe 10 countries in the world that should host like Olympics and these kind of events because we had the venues to do it, right? So like, and this idea, like if you go to Brazil right now, there's stadiums that are there. They built them, they spent poor people's money, right, yep, to build the stadiums, and then now half of them are sitting here empty and never be used again. And
look at Sochi. Same thing.
Sochi. Remember in Sochi, the they took all the stray dogs away and just killed them? You know, like everybody, there's tons of stray dogs, and all of a sudden one day they're all gone. It's like, where did they all go? And they're not here anymore. And it's,
well, yeah. When the Olympics were held in Brazil, too, they had water sports that they magically cleaned up the rivers and the ocean front for a very brief period of time, and then all of a sudden the pollution went right back into the water.
It's frustrating is what it is.
It's difficult to grapple, and I think this World Cup is going to be one of those, because I've had similar opinions or feelings where I'm like, it's really hard to want to tune in for these games, but I still want to watch them.
Well, I want to support. You want to support, like, so it's not the players' fault that these situations happen, right? So all the Olympians that spend their life, you know, training mm-hmm. for this, they don't know where it's going to be, right? Like, you can't tell if it's going to. And so it's frustrating because you're stuck in this rock and a hard place. Why I would like to boycott this World Cup philosophically, it's not a realistic thing. And frankly, it's not going to do anything by me boycotting it, right? And, you know, to kind of turn a page. The cool thing about World Cup is this. In all my years of kind of hosting at my bars and stuff, the great thing is that you meet so many different kinds of people, and it really is such a special event. Like, you know, we used to have games where, like, it's some random Iran versus, you know, some other kind of small country.
Portugal.
Yeah, and there'll be, like, five Portuguese guys there and five, you know, Iranians there. That's it. I don't make any money on it, but the fact that they're hanging out at my bar is kind of a cool thing, I think. You know, like, you just don't get that kind of experience, you know, watching American football or basketball, whatever it is. And once every 4 years, well, with the Olympics, it happens more with the World Cup. Like, Olympics, people stay at home, they watch it. The World Cup, people like to go out. It is more fun to watch the games in a crowd, you know, like, yeah, than just sitting at home yelling at your TV, you know, like,
which I will happily be doing for any of the times that USA or Germany are, yes, playing at 4 a.m. So I will definitely waking up.
We don't, so the U.S. does not play at 4 a.m. Luckily, the U.S. plays at like 11. I should know this,
you
by
got
the way.
Group, you got the groupie schedule 11, somewhere.
11, 11, and 1. Basically, I think the earliest the U.S. plays is like at 11 o'clock.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, luckily. Nice. Yeah.
And so is the U.S. your team for the World Cup? Is that who you're cheering for?
I mean, I'll cheer for him, yeah. I mean, like,
Brian, do you have a horse in the race? Do you have a horse in the race, Brian?
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's hard not to, you know, cheer for the good old American
Eagles. Didn't even make it last cup. What are you talking about? It's hard not to cheer for them. Come on.
It's very easy not to when they're not part of it at all.
You know who didn't make it this World Cup or the last World Cup, by the way, is Italy.
Yeah, there you go.
That's, they were too busy following and basically resurrecting Mussolini.
Yeah.
Mussolini's party is now in power. So congratulations, Italy. You've traded soccer or football for Mussolini again. Ciao. Ciao, yeah, everyone.
But the U.S. has got a pretty favorable draw this go around.
And they're better than they have been in the past. I'll just say it out loud. They're better than they have been in the past because they're less white. They are. So the U.S. has.
You mean
a
Landon Donovan is still not playing?
No. And he was actually pretty good. But you can't tell me.
Donovan was solid.
He was solid, but you can't tell me.
I just
Bradley.
Figured he had a really good thing for headers. That's all I know.
Yeah, you can't tell me Bradley was the best center halfback that the country has. Like, anyway, but so.
So you're saying that we've gotten some more diversity in the program for the national team over the last 4 years.
And when you look at it, we'd look from an eye test, we look better athletically. And team wise, and I'm sorry, but I think it attributes to like I said, the more diversity on a U.S. team, I think helps our team get better. So you know, there's a lot of politics in soccer too, believe it or not. Like, I've been in the soccer world for a long time. It's a lot of money in soccer, and there's been some people who come out.
It's the biggest sport. It's the biggest.
Hope
sport
Solo wrote a whole thing about it actually, and then Wijnaldum wrote an article about it. You should look it up. They basically called out the kind of scratching everybody's backs and stuff and not really truly picking the best players. It happens, just so everybody knows, it happens on a local level too, okay? Yeah. Like, my daughter, she's a nine-year-old, and my East Side club, I'll do a little plug, Capital East Soccer, by the way, they're on the East Side, and we take everybody. Mm-hmm. We pretty much don't turn anybody down, and we just find a place for them. And there are clubs around town that, like, you know, are more, like, elite clubs that, like, basically you get turned down for them, you know? And I will say the most proud moment I had was there's a 13 boys team on Cap East that won this tournament. And you look at it, there's three white guys in the team or four white guys, right? And the diversity is really, really great for me personally and having my girls or my kids around diverse kids. And then my daughter will notice we play all these teams, like all these like suburban teams or little town teams around, all white kids. Every single one. Like, they don't even have like an Asian kid on the team or a Latino kid on the team. And my daughter will say, she's like, they're all white, Dad. And I'm like, yeah, honey, I don't know what to tell you. Like, you know. Anyway,
that was the theme of the movie Kicking and Screaming. They they imported a bunch of two Italian kids.
That's right.
Dicka was part of that big play.
The first time I ever learned what politics, like the first time in my memory of learning what politics was on the Little League team, baseball. So slightly different, but sports growing up is all of the good kids were on the good team. They were all grouped together on one team. And I always asked I believe it was my mother at the time, and I was like, why does that team always get to be the one with all the good players? And my mom was just like, politics. That's what it was, because the parents and the families for the Little League would all come together and they'd draft or whatever, and they would pick the kids that they wanted, and the better teams always got the best players, and so there was no.
I love the fact that your mom was just like, politics.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Hey, Luke. Yeah, this is like, what, 20, 30 years later or whatever, or 50 years later probably. So long ago that it happened. By the way, it's same in Oak Creek because you grew up in the same area.
No, I did Franklin. See, I did Franklin.
Worse. Same thing.
Yes, probably. Yes. But yeah, sports is supposed to be the great equalizer, and so it's great to hear the club on the East Side here in Madison is working to get everybody involved.
We do. It's actually our mission. Our fees are. I'm not trying to like. Okay. In full disclosure, by the way, I am currently the president of Capital East Soccer. But I have known about them for a while, and they're special because of the fact that we keep our fees extremely low compared. If you were to look at the fees change, you'd be like, holy. Compared to some other.
Oh yeah, I played select soccer in high school.
We keep our fees really low because we have a lot of volunteers and stuff.
I won't tell you how many lawns I had to mow to make it up to my parents when they covered the select soccer fees.
Soccer is supposed to be the cheaper sport, right? It soccer is. And basketball.
You got shin guards and cleats.
Not no more, man. I
can believe that. And the interesting thing too, I don't know.
Now when you can put the service fees on top.
That's right. Ticketmaster. You know, Capital E should charge a little service fee as a
some processing fee.
Some competition. There you go. Folks,
and then a beer stocking fee.
You were listening to for the U9 team? I don't know about that, Brian.
Oh, that's the other thing. All the parents have.
I don't
big,
have
giant
9-year-old
mugs.
Girls and guys stocking beer at my bars for low wages. Okay, it's not. I don't do that. I'm not Republican.
Not anymore? Or no.
Republicans would be totally fine with like 9-year-old stocking beer coolers, right?
I've seen that around Wisconsin. Yeah. I don't know.
Building
if that's a
character.
Republican
give them one at the end.
That's a small town Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah,
thing
small
right
town
there.
Wisconsin.
Yeah,
yeah,
you'll see kids stocking bar backs.
Joey, grab me a shot of Jaeger. That's okay. I don't know where Bob went, but just grab me a shot of Jaeger.
Folks, do his. He's gone.
You're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We're joined by Hawk Sullivan, proprietor of 3 fine neighborhood bars here in Madison. We're going to be joined by Hawk continuing this conversation as we come to the other side of this break. Also taking your phone calls, asking the bartender, 844-967-2789. We're going to get to those phone lines as well. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke, he's Brian. We're joined in studio at the Solidarity Realty Studios by Hawk Sullivan, owner of Hawks on State Street, the Jade Monkey on Cottage Grove Road, and the Atomic Koi in Fitchburg. And we're talking sports. We got the World Cup kicking off on Sunday morning. I believe it's Qatar versus Iran is the opening game. I could be wrong. I know Qatar, the host country gets to play in the opening game. And I believe they're in the group with Iran. But again, I didn't have the schedule. I didn't have the four.
I should know this, maybe, but honestly, I'm not watching that.
Go ahead,
Brian. Can I make a suggestion for everybody? I know that we people like to make a big deal about, you know, there's no alcohol sold to the games, except for probably the luxury suites. I understand, If you're looking at a local bar, I don't know if you stock this at all, Hawk. I think I may have mentioned this one time. Every culture has their own like aperitif liqueur thing, and most of them end up being something like an anisette or like a sambuca type of thing, an ouzo. Try arak. Arak is the Middle Eastern version of that. There's a several different like Lebanese. Bunch of different types. Check it. Arak. Arak.
There you go.
Arak.
Look at that.
It's delicious. It's smooth. It's, you know.
Qatar opens up against Ecuador on Sunday.
Ecuador, yeah. And Ecuador is good. I mean, yeah. Qatar is going to probably get.
Well, again,
smushed.
They didn't have a soccer program, which is part of when they got awarded the cup in 2014, it was, I believe.
Instead of killing those workers, they may have recruited some of them.
That's what they did. They went and they invested millions of dollars into this program where they went to sub-Saharan Africa. They went to Indonesia, places across Asia, and they recruited talent to then bring to Qatar and train a soccer program. So they started doing this roughly a decade ago in anticipation of hosting the World Cup. And so it's a very just interesting story about how this cup is being conducted, how it was awarded, how it is going to unfold over the next month as it is played. I have a feeling there's going to be some protests from athletes. Qatar is not friendly to LGBTQ community.
I was gonna say
women.
Lady
like
yeah, the
like
ladies
no alcohol
World Cup
is
would
the
not
easy,
be there
right no the Women's World Cup will not be played there next year. It is,
I don't even think Megan is Megan Rapinoe is she going to be able to be an announcer?
No,
she usually does call some games.
I don't know if Rapinoe's doing it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
I, don't know.
I was she's not she's but she's usually oppressed. She's usually whenever soccer's on, usually they have
she's kind of chilled out a little bit. I mean, she's trying to enjoy a little bit less
No, I'm not saying that she's going to be out there saying stuff. What I'm saying is are they even going to allow her to be there? You know what
is
I mean?
It,
are
you know,
are we going to allow it, female reporters?
Is the world? I don't even know if the World Cup is the Women's World Cup is there.
No, it's in Australia.
No. I'm talking about her as a reporter,
like
as a
contributor to
as an analyst.
Yeah, I don't know who FIFA is going to determine to go and be commentators. It's going to be
the whole thing is gross. Yeah, we all agree, right? I mean, it's pretty, you know. Yeah, it's pretty gross.
But for here in our Ask the Bartender segment, we do have a caller, Hawk, on the line for you.
They want to know what a rock tastes like.
And Brian will let them know.
Sambuca.
There you go.
I like Sambuca.
But we got Nick here in Madison calling in. Nick, what's your question for Hawk this Friday afternoon?
Hey, well, Hawk, first of all, you know, I've been to your bar on State Street before, but I didn't know you were a Bear fan. I am too. So, you know.
There you go, sports.
Hang in there, man. Hang in there. It'll be okay.
And here's the thing. You know, I have a lot of friends who are younger than me who were not alive when the Packers sucked during the 80s, you know?
Oh, yeah. So, I tell people all the time, like, Packer fans who are, I don't know, 35 or 40 or younger, and I'm like, no offense, you don't know. I don't consider you a real fan yet until you've been a fan through bad times.
I mean, I've been a Bear fan my whole life. I was born and raised in Chicago originally. And the thing is, since I've been in high school, the Packers have had two quarterbacks. The Bears have had more quarterbacks than there are members of Congress.
Yeah, it's frustrating, right? Like, I watch it on TV, and my wife is like,
430 or 535 or 38?
Probably.
right about there.
About that number. Okay.
I'll be at home.
Have no fear, my friend. At least the Packers last night lost because of the Titans, and that made it so that the Bears do not lose the shared title of the most wins in NFL history.
Yes, for sure, yes.
Well, good for you, Nick.
I also wanted to say, you know, I don't want to get into politics, but because we're talking about sports, you know, you were talking about the World Cup and everything for soccer.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge soccer fan, but I visited some friends. This is about 15 years ago. They live in Ontario, Canada, and the World Cup was happening then. And I got to say, I didn't care about any of the teams, but I've never had more fun watching a game because everyone was just so into it.
Yeah, down for a U.S. game. I mean, it'll be packed in there, but come down to Hawks for a U.S. game, and it'll be a lot of fun. Like, there's some other good games, too, by the way, that I mean, you know, like, not all games in the first round are good games, but there's a handful of good games in the first round. And, yeah, come down. It's a great atmosphere. I've never been so packed for I think it was U.S. versus England 4 years ago, or, no, 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. And
the Revolutionary War.
That was a wild one. That was a good. The U.S. made it. Pretty decent.
And they play England again this time. Yeah. Yep. So that's the game, Nick. Nick, come watch the England versus U.S. game at Hawks. That'll be.
When is that coming up?
I gotta look.
Check the schedule.
Now I gotta check the
schedule. It's gonna be 1 p.m. next Friday. One week from today.
Oh, is it 1 p.m. on a Friday?
1 p.m. next Friday.
Nick, what do you do for a living? You can just come down and act like you're working.
Maybe we'll do Dueling Tangents live that day from Hawks.
Yeah.
Possibly.
I'm just kidding. That's going to be insane background noise. I don't think that can make that work.
I'm like, my eyes just crossed thinking about it.
Terrible idea. We appreciate the phone call, Nick. And yes, definitely come down to Hawks next Friday, 1 p.m. That is when U.S. plays England in the World Cup groups play. It's going
to
be interesting.
I would, for that particular game, if you're listening to this and you're thinking about coming down for the U.S. versus England game on Friday at 1 o'clock, I would get there early it's going to be, I will assume that it's going to be completely packed.
There's going to be a lot of other good games on before that. Netherlands and Ecuador play at 10 a.m. So that's a good one.
Oh, on that day?
Yeah.
Oh, that
same
yeah.
day. So it'll be a busy day at Hawks next Friday.
Get some food.
Yeah, get some food.
Get
some drinks.
My goodness.
So just for the listeners, because the 10 a.m. games are like, the last game of the first round, they all play at the same time, actually, in your group, so you don't know who won. But the 9 a.m. games. And we will be open for those, too, by the way, the 9 a.m.
There
games.
We go.
Okay, so, and we won't, we're just going to have, like, simple, like, muffins and Danishes. We're not trying to, like, make some
continental breakfast.
Continental, that's what I said. I said continental breakfast.
International continental breakfast.
That's there you right. go, for the World Cup.
International continental breakfast.
Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
Hawk. Danish and an empanada.
There you go. That's
and Arak. Wait, how do you say it? How do you say it?
Arak.
Arak. Arak.
Hawk, thanks so much for joining us in studio this Friday afternoon. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast. Dueling Tangents will be back for the holiday week tomorrow. Or not tomorrow. Monday at 2 p.m. We'll talk to you then.
Later.